Well, good morning, Christchurch Cathedral. It is always a delight to be worshiping with you, and especially today as we celebrate the beginning of Black History Month. This morning, I want to take you a little bit back, like way, 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 way back. In the 13th year of the reign of King Josiah, in the year 627 BC, a young prophet named Jeremiah answered God's call to offer a word to Israel. Now, Jeremiah was a pretty unlikely prophet. He was introspective, he was impetuous, and he was always somehow seemed to be angry. Angry that he got called to be a prophet because a prophet was not what he had intended to be. He often went between comforting God's people and asking God to smite them and wipe them off the face of the earth. You know, like a good prophet probably would. And Jeremiah kept this up until the king got together and the people said to him, "Pray no more for this people, Jeremiah. In other words, we need you to stop." They had had enough of the doom and the gloom of the prophet. But that didn't stop Jeremiah, because Jeremiah knew that God's people were in for a time of hardship. Israel was defeated by the Babylonian armies and they were kept as captives. Oppressed people during Jeremiah's time. The temple, the center of their culture, the center of their very being was destroyed. The period of Babylonian captivity began. It was then that Jeremiah's voice put into words what the people of God felt during that time of oppression. He cried out to the heavens, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wounds of my people?" You see, I think Jeremiah captured the spirit of the people that God had sent him to be a prophet for. Fast forward a few millennia, black sons and daughters from Africa find themselves enslaved in the United States. They had been ripped from the soil of their birth, the places of their ancestors. They had been taken from the familiar. They had seen their culture and their language and their customs vanish like dust. And they lived in a constant fear of separation, of being sold as property, always under the constant imminence of the potential for being punished severely. In the words of James Weldon Johnson, they knew firsthand how to sing when hope unborn had died. Yet, even in the midst of this hardship and oppression and pain, the songs of the ancestors welled up into their beings. They did something that oppressed people have done forever. They sang. They sang of liberation and freedom. They sang of hope and crossing the river. They sang of their heavenly home where they will be one day free. They sang of redemption and they sang of salvation. They took up the cry of Jeremiah, the cry for healing and wholeness, the cry for emancipation and hope. Through the heat of their tears and dashed hopes, they sang. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Jeremiah and those who endured the lash of slavery knew is that there is indeed a balm in Gilead, the balm that heals, that makes whole, that puts things at right with our God. Our gospel for today is all about healing. Jesus has been running around doing what Jesus generally does, healing people, raising people, and pointing them towards God. And he was casting out more than his fair share of demons. And so he comes to Simon Peter's house where his mother-in-law, and I don't know how many of us remember that Simon was actually married, had a mother-in-law, who knew? But nonetheless, he comes to Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house and he finds that she has a fever. And generally, when I get to somebody's house and they're sick, I turn around and go back home. But not so with Jesus. He goes in and he takes Simon Peter's mother-in-law by the hand and he raises her up and she's made well. She goes on to serve them And then Jesus goes off to a quiet place for a while and rest and comes back refreshed to go back into the world to be healing, to bring wholeness, to be a balm. See, I am convinced now more than ever that we as the church, we who are followers of Jesus, need to be that healing balm our communities so desperately need. Our world needs to know that there really is a balm in Gilead. The one to tell that story is you. Our world, I think, needs to discover that even in the midst of the current hardships that we find ourselves in the heart of injustice where we find ourselves standing and protesting, that even in the face of a death-dealing culture, there is still a balm in Gilead. One of the constants of my childhood was my grandmother. My grandmother used to love to sing. She would stop when she stopped going to church around the age of 14, or stopped going to school around the age of 14. She went on to work to help support her family. One of the things she always said she regretted is that she never got to go to school any longer. In many ways, she was just a pretty ordinary woman. The granddaughter of a slave who knew the hardship and pain, but she also knew how to celebrate and keep with joy. She would sing when things were good, and she would sing when things were bad, and she would sing just because she could sing. I think singing was her healing balm in many ways. There are two things that I could expect from her every time I was around her. Is that she would say something from the Bible, and that she would sing. And she would sing the songs, I think, that were engraved deep down inside her soul. She, like so many others, knew that there was a balm in Gilead, and she did her best to be a balm for others. Friends, we need to be a balm. We need to tell the good news that healed Peter's mother-in-law. We need to tell the good news that Jesus' hands of healing and hope are open to all of God's people. This past year, we have seen people of faith and people of no faith take to the streets to protest and say that Black Lives Matter. We have seen the legacy of supremacy on full display in our nation's capital only a few weeks ago. We have seen the disparity between the rich and the poor continue to widen in this nation, and the folks are crying out, "Is there a balm in Gilead?" We have seen the inequality in our healthcare system as it fails Black and brown bodies. We have seen our Latino sisters and brothers as children locked away in cages. We have seen injustice in full HD right before our eyes. And in many ways, like the people of Israel, like the enslaved singers, we sometimes wonder, is there a balm in Gilead? The cry of the prophets, the mission of the Messiah, the songs of the slaves and their descendant goes up. Sometimes I feel discouraged and I think my work's in vain. Then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. See, the thing is that Jesus heals not just Peter's mother-in-law and those who were gathered in Capernaum that day. He has healed and continues to heal us. He heals us when we let go of those things that hold us back, when we take the blinders off of our eyes and see the world as it is, when we step and out into the world as compassion and see those who are different than us as siblings, as sisters and brothers on a journey of discovering God's healing balm. You see, Jesus heals us and sets us free, not only from the things that seek to oppress, but also for the life and of purpose and meaning and hope. Many times over this last 10 months of pandemic, we have all felt low. We've all had those moments where we keep asking, "How long, O Lord, how long?" the cry of the ancestors, the cry of those who've gone before is not long. We have felt the pain and loss of grief. We have seen almost 450,000 of our sisters, siblings, and brothers lost to a pandemic. And like Simon, we wish that Jesus could reach out and simply heal every single hurting soul. Yet, the lesson that we learn from Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law is that you and I, who have been healed by God's grace, we are set free for the healing of others. There are times in our lives where it is enough for us to be near Jesus, to hang out in that holy and healing balm, when it is enough to simply bask in God's presence. But Jesus did not call us and claim us and heal us so that we could stand still where we are. He did not call us and claim us and heal us for us to simply become God's frozen chosen. Jesus did not call us so that we could stay the same. The call of Jesus is a call to serve, a call to be the balm for healing of the world, to sing again with gusto the songs of liberation and hope, and to seek the new healing grace of the balm in Gilead. You see, that healing sets us free. We are set free for the healing of the world. We are set free for the sharing of love. We are set free from the pain of grief to be carriers of God's unbound hope. We are set free so that we can set others free. Being set free means that we cannot always spend our time looking back. We can't pine for what was. We can name those places of oppression and injustice and fear in our lives and be set free so that we can set others free. We must be about the business of setting this world free for God. Setting those free from the bonds of injustice, free from the fetters of racism, free from division, free from those things that divide us and continue to hate God's world. You see, we are set free to proclaim the good news that love will always, always, always have the last word. And in the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, that the arc of the moral universe might be long, but it bends always towards justice. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. My siblings in Christ, may God bless you. May God keep you. May God send you to proclaim that there is indeed a healing balm in Gilead. Amen.